obediently to God. What benefit is there to doing that? Well, for those of us who are Christians, we live our life obediently to God because we have faith, we believe that God exists. And we have evidence through Scripture. We as Christians believe that Scripture is inspired by God, and we're told to do these things because it's pleasing to God. Besides that, we can look at creation, and we can look at our own lives and see, we look at things that bring us faith to believing that there is a God out there. Well, Abel had this kind of faith, and he made this offering to God in faith. Let's live our lives according to faith as Abel did. Go with me to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Look at verses 16 and 17. Psalm 51, 16 and 17. Psalm of David. He says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." There is not anything that we can offer to God that He does not already have. God is the creator of all things. Whatever God wants, He can have. It's His. There is nothing that we can give to God that He does not have. What God desires from us is to offer Him a pure heart, to offer Him an obedient life. God desires this. If you're living your life, perhaps you call yourself a Christian, but you go throughout the week and on a daily basis, you just live however you want, not seeking to do God's will. You live as someone in the world lives. And then you come here on Sundays and you offer your worship to God. Now, God sees, He looks into our hearts. That's a vain worship to God. God, as He says in John chapter 4, verse 24, He's seeking those who worship Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God desires for us to come to Him with a pure heart, a contrite heart, in order for Him to accept our sacrifice, our offering to Him. So let's make sure that as we live as Christians, that we are focusing on these things, remembering that our lives should be dedicated to our God. And lastly, just go with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, looking at verses 11 and 12. "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous." Cain murdered Abel because he was upset that God did not accept his sacrifice because his acts were evil, his actions were evil. It may come a point in our lives when people are going to hate us, people are going to despise us because of the way that we live our lives. Because when they look at us, they look at our lives, the way that we conduct ourselves, they see that we conduct ourselves differently than the rest of the world, and people may hate us, may despise us. And it may come even to the point, as it did here, in Genesis chapter 4, where our lives are going to be on the line if we're willing to be pleasing to God. Abel had the faith to obey God. He offered his sacrifice in faith. He believed in God. Cain didn't, and therefore Abel was pleasing to God. Let's take these thoughts tonight, and I hope that we can all be encouraged and think about these as we go throughout our lives.
By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith.
The song is not in either of our books, but it will be on the overhead as well as the handouts that were passed out earlier. God's Hall of Faith.
By faith Noah, God told him to build an ark to spare his family. Moved with godly fear, so when rain appeared, he saved them and condemned the world. By faith Abraham, when God tested him, prepared to give his only son. He knew God would raise him up from the dead. The angel stayed at Father's hand. By faith Moses, when he came to the shore, he stretched his hand over the sea. On the right and left, walls of water did. Let Israel cross on dry ground. By faith David, when facing battle with the Philistines, took 5 smooth stones, put 1 in his sling, and then slew the one who cursed the boy who would be king.
Turn to Genesis 6, and then we'll read there. But first, I'd like to read Hebrews 11, verse 7 again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. First of all, we see that Noah was warned of things not yet seen. Genesis 6, 17 through 18. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. So we see here, right before this, God told Noah to build an ark. He gave him very specific instructions on how to make it, what kind of wood it was to be made of, what dimensions, told him to put a window in it. So he received these instructions, and then in verse 17, God says, I'm going to destroy all life with a flood. Then after this, in verse 18, he says, but I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. So God says, I'm going to destroy the world, but I will save you and your family, and you will preserve life. So what did Noah do when God gave him this order? Verse 22 says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And chapter 7, verse 5 says the same thing. But think about Noah. Here he is, he had never seen rain before. Genesis 2 verse 6 says that a mist came out of the earth and watered the ground. So since he had never seen rain, he would have never seen a flood. And certainly he would have never seen a flood that would have been extremely destructive. This one that God said would happen would destroy the earth. But what did Noah do? Verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. And Noah was rewarded because of his righteousness. in Hebrews 11, the second half of the verse, it says, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah, because of his righteousness, became the father of Abraham. And Genesis 11, verses 10 through 26 show that lineage of Shem, of Arphaxad, and continue down the line until you get to Nahor, to Terah, and to Abraham. And we see at the very beginning of chapter 12, now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And we know the three promises that Abraham was given. And we know that Abraham was tremendously blessed by God, that he received the promises of the future, the blessing of all the world, and Noah was able to be a part of this because of his faithfulness to God. He was part of the lineage of Abraham, the lineage of David, and ultimately the lineage of Christ. But how did Noah do all this? How was he able to face the ridicule that he faced? How did he face everything and spend 500 years building this ark? It says in the beginning of verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. His faith in God allowed him to do this. And Oscar mentioned verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. We see that without faith we can do nothing, but through faith we can do everything. Thank you.
In Hebrews 11, we'll start in verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense.
Number 591, Lord, increase our faith.
Dos ho, Lord, may our faith be like Abraham's, our path, the path he trod. Our gifts from thee, sacrificed as alms, our name the friend of God. Like others' faith, Lord, may our faith be at work in times of fear. doubting men who would die for thee on noble missions here. Lord, may we be like the patient man whose faith could long endure. Though blessed by thee, tried and blessed again, in all remaining pure. And may our prayers, like the faithful prayers of prophets long ago, call down thy power so that everywhere the cause of Christ will grow.
Okay, if you all turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 8. I'd just like to spend a few minutes talking about the faith of Abraham and Sarah and what we can learn from that and how we can apply it to our own lives. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. If y'all please turn your Bibles to Genesis 12. And I have a lot of verses, but you don't have to turn to all of them, but just to show some examples. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. It's mentioned again in Romans 4, verses 18 through 21. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised he was also able to perform. So what we learn from this is that though what God was saying may have seemed slightly unreasonable to them, maybe impossible, but God told them what they should do, and they still believed in him, no matter what. We turn to Genesis 22, and this is one of the ones that stood out the most to me, where Abraham was asked by God, well, told by God to sacrifice his only son, and to sacrifice him to God. And that just shows how much faith Abraham really did have to be able to give his son and sacrifice him himself, not knowing what was going to happen or if he would ever get his son back. But Abraham trusted in God that his will be done and whatever was going to happen would be for the best. And that may seem, you know, far out for us to be able to understand that someone would go to those lengths to show his devotion to God, but that's how much faith that he did have. And what we can learn from all of this is that we need to do what our ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, did. We need to believe that God can do the impossible and that nothing is too hard for God. God told Sarah when she was too old to have children that she was going to have a son, Isaac. And that seemed impossible, but they had enough faith in God that God can do the impossible. And we still need to live that out in our lives today and know that God really can do anything, no matter how impossible it may seem. And we also need to trust God's guidance and direction is leading us into uncharted territory. As we journey through life as pilgrims in this world, we need to look in faith to the coming of Jesus Christ and have enough faith in God that he will lead us to heaven in the end. And all these things that God tells us to do in the Bible and how to follow him, the world might say that's a little too extreme, but we know that no matter what we may want in life, that God knows what's best for us, and we just need to trust him that it will be the best for us in the end. And through Abraham and Sarah's example, we see that we must demonstrate our faith by being obedient to God and doing good works that demonstrate our faith. Our faith is perfected by doing good works. And just some thoughts. We need to ask ourselves, are we as faithful as Abraham and Sarah? Do we trust God as much as they did? And do we trust God with our lives? And do we trust God with the lives of the people that we love like they did? And do we trust God with our salvation?
Be reading from Hebrews 11, verses 20 through 29. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons, Joseph, and worshiped leaning on top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commands. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he would destroy the firstborn should it touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned.
Number 254, on Jordan's stormy banks, 254.
On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We will rest in the fair and happy land, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. O'er all those wide extended plains shines one eternal day. There God the Son forever reigns and scatters. souls on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore. Filled with delight, my raptured soul would hear no longer stay. The Jordan's waves around me roll, fearless I launch away. We will rest in the barren, happy land, just across on the evergreen shore. Sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, by and by, and dwell with Jesus evermore.
If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. That's where we'll be starting in a minute. Right now, you don't have to turn to this. I'll be in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's commands. First off, we see that Moses' mother had tremendous faith to put her baby's life completely in God's control, as she put Moses in the river because of Pharaoh's new law about all the baby boys in Egypt being killed. Now I'll be reading Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And a man of the house of Levi went and took his wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that this was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. So we know from the beginning that Moses had a strong example in faith. As Moses grew, we know he continued to use his faithful pattern as he followed God's instructions in the burning bush. Now I'll be reading Exodus chapter 3, verses, starting in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now down to verse 4. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. We know that he had enough faith to go talk to whoever or whatever was in this bush, because at the time he did not know it was God. Now I'll be reading Exodus chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, Go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Now let's get down to 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. We see that after all the complaining and pleading that Moses did with God to get someone else to do the job, him and Aaron still went and faced Pharaoh just as God told them to do. In leaving Egypt with the Israelites, Moses had his faith tested many times. As they approached the Red Sea with Pharaoh in hot pursuit, Moses had to decide whether to trust in God's power or to surrender to Pharaoh. Now, Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 14. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In showing his faith and trust in God, Moses set a powerful example for all the Israelites to follow. Now down to 14, verses 30 and 31. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Moses and the Israelites had the same choice we do. We have to decide whether we will have faith in God and trust in his word or surrender to Satan.
I'll be reading Hebrews 11, 30 through 31. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace.
Next song tonight will be number 213 in the big book. Number 213.
Here we are, but straying pilgrims here. Our path is often dim, but to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever. And the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever. And the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river, where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever. And the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes.
Would go ahead and turn to Joshua chapter 2. That's where we'll be looking from this evening. As it was read earlier, Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31, talks about the faith of Rahab. But what was the reason behind her faith? We're already in Joshua 2. We'll read verses 1 through 13. We'll pull some things from there. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you and have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up on the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid under the border of her roof. Then the men pursued by the Jordan to the fords, and as soon as those who had pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know the Lord has given the land to you, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt, and what he did to the two kings of the Amorites, who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God, in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters, and all that have delivered our souls, our lives from death. In verses 9 through 11, we saw that she knew that the Lord had given the land into the hands of the Israelites. We also see in verses 3 through 5 that Rahab had a choice. She had a choice to turn the men over or to protect them. We all know that she decided to save the men. But what prompted her to do that? Why did she choose this option? Let's read 9 through 11 again. And said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth below. This is not all that we can... Well, we see that she knew that God had given the land. And we read that they were scared. They had fear. Earlier in Hebrews, it was read that Noah was moved with godly fear. Rahab did not have the same kind of godly fear. She feared for her life, but she feared the Lord. This is not all that we can see from the standpoint of Rahab's faith. Later we see she had to go and she had the faith to do all the things in which were necessary for her house to be saved. Our theme this year at Eastside is increasing our faith. You have a choice tonight, much like Rahab had a choice. You can either be stagnant and lukewarm, like the members of the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, verse 14 and following, or you can increase your faith by searching the scriptures like the Bereans. So I leave you with this one thought. What is your choice?
I'll be reading Hebrews 11, 32 through 40. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect.
Wonderful City of God, 637. There's a wonderful place we call home, 'tis a city of glory divine. It is built in the garden of rest, and that beautiful home shall be mine. Oh, that wonderful Eden so blessed, where Jesus the Master has gone. To prepare us his glorious home, there he bids us a welcome to come. Oh, wonderful city of God, just across in that beautiful clime, where the angel's sweet echo of song in musical cadences chime. Oh, wonderful city of God, by faith in the distance I see. There's a mansion prepared over there, yes, a place in that city for me. Oh, how sweet it will be there to dwell with the Savior and Father of all, in a palace of diamond and gold, where no evil to us can befall. Then our sorrow that home shall invade, and our loved ones no more there shall die. One celestial, unbroken, sweet day, while eternity's ages roll by. Oh, wonderful city of God, just across in that beautiful clime, where the angel's sweet echo of song in musical cadences chime. Oh, wonderful city of God, by faith in the distance I see. There's a mansion prepared over there, yes, a place in that city for me. When the jewels of Jesus are brought there to shine in that land of sweet song, what a beautiful, beautiful spot, that I shall be there in that throng. Sweetest peace to my soul it will be, to behold such a glorious sight, where the sun and the moon neither shine, but the glory of God is a light. Oh, wonderful city of God, just across in that beautiful pine. Song in musical cadences chime. Oh, wonderful city of God, by faith in the distance I see. There's a mansion prepared over there, yes, a place in that city for me.
Tonight we've been talking about the numerous people and examples of their faith to God and how they gained approval from God. We're going to focus the remainder of our time this evening looking at the final two verses of Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. Christ is that promise that's being talked about in this verse. Even though these great Old Testament characters never saw what God was promising them, they had faith to know that His promise would one day be carried out. We today, however, as verse 40 states, have had something better provided for us. God promised that something better would appear, and that promise is Christ. Christ came and died on the cross for us for our sins. God's promise that He made to Abraham about the seed and all these other examples we've discussed tonight, that promise was fulfilled through Christ for us. Tonight, you can be made perfect like it talks about. If you've fallen away from God or you haven't come to the Lord yet, you can be made perfect the way the Hebrew writer mentions in verse 40. First of all, you need to obey the gospel. You need to repent and confess of your sins. And it all starts with faith. You have to have faith in God and that He will lead you to the promised land. The same faith that's being described in Hebrews 11, the entire chapter like we've read and discussed tonight, is what we need to have ourselves to God. After you repent and confess of your sins, you need to be baptized. And then you can gain God's ultimate approval, like the people of the Old Testament gained from God. You need to have faith in God's promise. If there's any way that we can help you tonight, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
In His excellent word, what more can He say than to you He has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled, fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to His foes. That soul the wall of hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake.